Hey guys, welcome back to the Beyond Forgiveness podcast. I'm your host, Alex Christine, and our scripture reading for today is going to be somewhat short compared to the others, but I still wanted to incorporate it, so here we go. This is from Ecclesiastes 4, verses 7 through 12. Because they have good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up, but pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Okay, so I have three outlines. I am going to try to follow in the most nuanced way possible and clear way possible. But I first kind of want to start off with awkward conversation. So I think many of us find this, like the topic of having awkward conversations with people, like necessary yet uncomfortable. We find that very kind of avoid it. We don't really want to talk about it that much. So my goal here is to basically try to approach these conversations with a grace and truth-centric sort of focus on the gospel message. So please bear with me as I attempt to do this. So, all right, I guess the first way to kind of bounce into this topic would be to share a personal experience with it. So recently I had somewhat of a miscommunication type thing with a friend, and it was essentially based in miscommunication on both sides, and being the conflict avoider that I am, I was a little bit reluctant to not make amends because I didn't feel that I had any, like, I had no grudges against the person, so I think that was a little different, but I had felt a pull that I needed to reach out and communicate, but it was just so, like, it's like, oh, it's been so long that this happened now, like, why rehash it? Why bring it up again? In that, though, and in random times kind of running into the same person, which I think is ordained by God. I think that was kind of God trying to get my attention and be like, all right, it's time to speak now. And so that's, yeah, we'd run into each other and stuff sometimes. Later on, I guess, not so much when the wound was fresh for either of us. I think we both needed a lot of distance. But as we would casually see each other, it was like, hello, hi, you know, no hard feelings type of thing. But we were both feeling the pull, and thankfully she is much stronger than I am and took initiative in addressing this conversation that I was very, not reluctant, just very, very anxious to have, because I'm like, I don't want to say anything wrong. What if it's based, like, what if our disagreement is based in, like, a theological or, like, value sort of foundation, like, based in that kind of foundation where it's, like, I'm not trying to change anyone's values or whatever, how people interpret things. So I'm, like, I personally felt like I was, this is kind of touching on the topic we're going to lean into here in a second, but I can't get too ahead of myself. In past friendships, I've found myself somewhat being, choosing, like, friend groups where I'm like the butt of the joke, or, and I must find that fun or something, I don't know, but just being in friendships where eventually it leads to hurt, and I think any friendship can be like that, not just ones that are truly bad for you, but also like regular healthy ones, there's gonna be conflict, but how we handle it is gonna determine, I think, the outcome of that relationship. So was very thankful that my friend came to me and wanted to kind of talk this out. So I was worried and everything, but I'm like, this is in God's hands. I'm praying the, like, just what comes out must, what is said, and that we can hopefully come to some kind of resolve in this. And essentially, you know, I had to take a week about to, like, let everything resonate. But after considering it and realizing where I was misunderstood, where I misunderstood my friend, and where I was also misunderstood, and just being able to kind of be reconciled in that, in our friendship and stuff, just because we're like, okay, we completely misunderstood, and I definitely, I mean, I think we both could have, anyone, there are two sides to every story. I think we can each own up to anyone in any type of conflict can own up to a side, whether it's you hurt another person, whether or not that you think that that's your fault, or if you're, or if you did or said something that might have hurt the other person, anything like that. So that's definitely way too complex of a topic to get into, so I'm not doing that. But yeah, basically, I was all worked up and anxious about this for so long, put it off for so long, which I do think was God's time and giving me patience and giving us both time to kind of reflect and go to God with it first, not try to hash things out, like just praying for one another type of thing, and praying, like reflecting on our own selves, reflecting on our own selves and where and what we might have done to contribute to that during that time. But ultimately, it led to us both recognizing that and then being able to communicate again. What sucks, though, you know, during that time, we both talked about how we had missed each other and, like, wanted to ask, you know, like, want to go for a walk or want to go for a picnic? Hey, want to help with this or that? Let's do this or something. And how we had experienced kind of some loneliness and stuff, or at least, you know, I did during that time. And I think we can all relate to that no matter what. Like, it doesn't have to be... it was an important topic to address though, despite my reluctancy to initiate it or maybe even engage in it. Not engage in it. I wanted things to be resolved. I just didn't want things to get heated. And honestly, having a friend who's actually willing to talk, communicate, where it's both sides, one side listens, the other side listens. There's an exchange in communication, and there is working together towards, not a fighting against. I think that is, like, I think I naturally lean towards, like, I would rather, but that could also be people pleasing, but leaning towards rather more of just, I just want to resolve this. I'm fighting with you, like, for you, with you, not, like, against you. Because I'm fighting for this friendship, I'm fighting for this relationship, X, Y, and Z, not against you in it, you know? So I think that's really critical to have in mind whenever you're having awkward conversations, and also, or what I learned that from that at least, and also the person you're talking to, and being able to both set clear boundaries and, like, have, you know? So I'm just very thankful for the way that went. I think that that's a really positive testimony and gives me hope about lots of other things, because I don't think anyone wants to be in the outs with anyone at any point in their life. So I think forgiveness and understanding, compassion in that with other people, we are human beings, we're gonna make mistakes. So just being willing to hear the other person out and, like, yeah, work together, not against, to mend that relationship, even though it's super duper awkward, or it was for me, maybe not for her, but it was so awkward for me. I'm like, and I, there's a lot that factors into that, but yeah, anyway, it was worth it, long story short. So, and they, that conversation was important because I feel like I have my friend again, like my sister in Christ again. Not that she wasn't during the time that we weren't communicating, because I do think there's also a place for distant relationships, where it's like, I have nothing against you, I wish you all the best, I'm praying for you, but I can't engage in this. This is very, it's causing spiritual, like, separation. It's causing, like, a spiritual discontentment within me. And sometimes you can explore that for yourself and be like, well, why? And is it me? And sometimes it can be hard to recognize for certain people, but, like, also being able to recognize that other people can fall short too. That is not esteeming them higher than yourself. I think that I love to live by that way of life in a way, in one aspect, that esteem others is greater than yourself. So yeah, I think that's, yeah, important. Okay. Esteeming others greater than yourself. I was on a flow and now I lost it. Okay, so now, next on my outline is understanding the nature of awkward conversations. Essentially, why they're awkward. Well, I guess I'm spilling the beans. Okay. I think conversations are awkward because, if we can be honest, no one wants to be wrong. No one ever wants to be wrong. I'm okay to admit where I have, like, fallen short and stuff, and where I mess up and might have hurt someone's feelings. I get scared sometimes, though, which is what can make it awkward, that, like, if I acknowledge this and they don't acknowledge something that they might have done too, then am I gonna get, like, be filled with guilt and shame? Yeah, so we have our prides, we have our things that will make us be like, we want to be right, we don't want to be in the wrong, like, oh yeah, being happy to admit where we're wrong, or glad to admit we're wrong, but maybe there's some anxiety around whether or not the other person is aware, or you're uncomfortable sharing that they might have hurt you in a way, because you're like, oh, I feel like that's on me. Maybe I'm weird. Like, maybe you guys should post your thoughts in the comments about this. Like, what makes these conversations so awkward? Is it mostly fear about the other side, or fear about yourself? Because, yeah, this is a hard one to explore. Like, I remember thinking right directly before the conversation, like, I just hope I didn't cry, because I can get really emotional and shut down. And I'm like, just please, I don't want that to happen, because then it could end in a bad way. So I just wanted to stay calm. Another reason why we might avoid these conversations. Okay, that was a good leeway, sorry. Excuse me. My stomach has been hurting the last few days. I apologize. Okay. Common reasons conversations become awkward, such as differing opinions, personal discomfort, or fear of conflict. Yes, also. But if you're having an awkward conversation, that probably is, like, rooted in a conflict of some sort, I'm thinking. But, like, why else would you have an awkward conversation? Unless you're talking about, like, a parent talking about the birds and the bees or something. I don't know. But in this context, we're talking about relationships or friendships, yada yada. And in that, it's mostly based in, like, it's like, well, what if there's what if we cannot come to agreement? Like, what if it's like, you think this way, I think this way, what if, you know, all the what ifs. But when both sides are understanding, and again, you're working together against each other for the friendship and really fellowship in Christ, like, continuing that together, I think that's a really powerful thing. So those are God-given friendships for sure. I don't know, probably had them. I had godly friendships, I think, growing up. Just, I wasn't aware of any of that. And now it's definitely something that I seek, so I am extremely grateful for that. Yeah. So let me go on to the next thing. Oh yeah, okay. So, from a biblical perspective, there's a lot in the Bible about communication, and also about friendships, and being there for one another, bearing one another's burdens, encouraging one another, loving one another, I mean, just a lot of one another's. So Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Or Colossians 14, which says, let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt. I think I said that right. Colossians 4:6. Okay. Yes. And then, oh yeah. And then I think in the, I don't know what book, so, but I just remember the word, but it says, do good, remember to do good and communicate, forget not. Like, do not forget to communicate, because that can clear up a lot of things, just to communicate. And I learned that one. It's like, it wasn't going to work. An invitation would. So, but I'm thankful that God strengthened her to initiate that, because I had wanted the conversation to happen very much. I wanted the resolution to happen, maybe not the conversation. I was scared, but yes, it all did, and it all worked out. So there's hope in that. I hope someone can listen and hear and find hope in that. Okay, on to the next. There's also, yes, Proverbs 27:17, which says, iron sharpens iron, and so one man sharpens another. So this verse basically means, like, one person, as we interact and everything, we refine each other and help each other become more like Christ. But yes, that is why constructive conflict is so important. So that's why constructive conflict can be important, and also addressing it. For example, Jesus, I forget that in this study and researching for doing this episode, I had found something and remembered that Jesus didn't send out the disciples one by one. He sent them out two by two. So I think that could really be one of those things with like an example of how iron sharpens iron, and that each one would sharpen one another's testimony and witness. So, and then Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 10, which we read part of today, says two are better than one because they have good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up, but pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. So yeah, and I guess this can now somewhat leeway into how this applies to friendship specifically, like the awkward conversations, but like why we need to have them. I mean, if you've been watching these episodes, I kind of have this thing of acknowledging that we live in a broken world. We are human beings. We all fall short. So our relationships can be hard in that aspect alone. Like, sins against us or our own traumas can cause barriers between friendships. And that can feel so incredibly discouraging sometimes. So like, oh, it's a me problem, which can lead to isolation. Also not good. All the time. Maybe never. I'm not. Yeah, it is not good for me to be alone. Let the word speak. Okay. Which has a different... Never mind. That's an entire another episode. I cannot get into the Genesis narrative right now and be under 15 hours because that is a study. Yeah, okay. So like when you have even past broken relationships, which I kind of touched on earlier, is like I'm kind of used to being that person who's like around and I feel like I'm bugging people because I really am bugging them. They just have me there as like a whatever, a little pet or something, I don't know. But in the past, till I learned to have some confidence in the Lord and learn to rest in how he sees me and not continue to be treated in certain ways, especially when it's affecting my spiritual or my walk with Christ. All right, broken friendships, being the butt of the joke. It's like I was always if not the butt of the joke, just kind of the one who walks in the back whenever only two people can fit on the sidewalk type of thing. It's not like a pity party, no way, Jose, but that's, you know, you get broken so many times and you start to feel like people just don't want to be around me. And I, in that time, would keep forcing, like, I would be the one to initiate, reach out. I'd be the one to, you know, and it just kind of gives you this, like, sometimes hopeless feeling. Do I really want to try this again? Do I really want to open my heart up to somebody who can stomp on it and break it and shatter? Yeah. So it's not always an easy thing to do. I think that's, like, yeah, that plays into like our emotional healing. So, you know, when we are constant, I feel like we might all constantly be emotionally healing if we're aware of it and are walking in the step of like trying to be more like Christ, which doesn't just mean emotional healing. It's letting God search out our hearts and knowing our brokenness and stuff, and laying that at his feet and letting him heal it in his time and according to his will. So, because sometimes I think our sicknesses can also make us a witness to others. There are a lot of instances throughout the Bible where people are sick and it is not their fault. Number one, Job. In the very beginning of the book, God says Job was innocent and right in the eyes of the Lord. I paraphrase that. I apologize. There's something in the New Testament where the Pharisees come up to Jesus and say, "This man's been paralyzed since birth. Did him or his parents sin?" And Jesus said, "Neither him nor his parents sinned, but he was made sick so that you might see the glory of God." Again, paraphrase that. I might need to go back and check that. If not, I will put the correct verse in the bio for this video. But yes, there is a lot of, I think we're, you know, when we're walking in Christ, we're constantly being searched out, wrung out in a way. In that process of emotional healing, we can have triggers and whatnot. And so being aware and maybe making those aware sometimes, not to control another person, but so they know. Because again, how can someone know that something hurts you if you've never told them? Or if they can't, not everyone has emotional intelligence. And having that and then assuming everyone else has it can actually be problematic. And sometimes I didn't realize sometimes that I could actually pick on people's, or not pick on, like, pick up on other people's emotions and that it would affect me. And I had no idea that that's what was happening. Kind of being aware of that is important too, so you can, because then during that time I'm thinking, I'm like, how do people not get it? How do you not like see that someone's not okay? And I think, yeah, it's actually more a gift than calling it emotional intelligence, but okay. Thank you. Next. In emotional healing, it's important to talk about and acknowledge our past broken friendships or relationships, especially in those awkward conversations or for those awkward conversations to occur. So, because I don't know, and maybe not all people are the same, so some people could respond totally differently to this, but I sometimes find that when I talk about something, even if I know it's minor, even if I know it's my fault, I'm not bashing anybody, I just need to let something out. It's a situation, something that happened, I feel uneasy, I gotta tell somebody I trust who's not gonna tell anyone. And that's hard to find too, so yeah. I think there were seasons where I didn't feel that I had that. I probably did, but I didn't feel like I did, and I would bring those to the feet of Jesus, or you know, would be journaling a lot. And God knows our hearts. He knows what's in our hearts, and He knows our thoughts before we even can perceive them. So it's, yeah, I find that comforting, and like a way to be able to rest in God during times like that. Yeah, and also acknowledging our past like heartbreaks and stuff in friendships, relationships, whatever it may be, that can help us then mature in our own friendship. Like sharing those stories is an intimate thing, and being able to connect over stuff like that and helping you feel like you are not alone, I think that is amazing and beautiful, and it is a gift from God that we have one another to be able to do that. And whether the conversation's awkward or not, you are having that intimacy. Like I can feel things like flood through my body when I'm having, you know, a spirit-filled conversation, and one seasoned with, is it grace or salt? Seasoned with salt. Okay. Now a more complicated thing, or now I need to talk about something that's a little bit more complicated than just forgiving and forgetting, because that's kind of what it's sounding like. So, and there is a book called, I listened to her on a podcast, but there's a book called Forgiving What You Can't Forget by Lisa, I don't want to mispronounce her last name, so I can also put that in the bio, but it basically talks about how that point, like, because, you know, I forgive you, but why do I still think about it constantly? Why is it still breaking me? Why is it still running through my head, type of thing? And when that starts happening, I think it's more of, I've had the hardest time with this one in life, is forgiveness does not always mean keeping someone around. It does not mean that you have to keeping them, like, not leaving them alone forever, you know, that's not what I'm saying, not being like disacknowledging, whatever the word is, their existence. I think that's kind of cruel, but you know, to pray for them, that's not neglecting them, you're still being there for them by praying for them. You can have a more distant relationship, like in setting up boundaries, just like, maybe not this weekend, please I hope you can understand. But that part's scary too, because then you're worried like, oh, I don't want to offend them, I don't want to hurt their feelings, what if they really, really need me and they're not telling me? And what does worry do in that? So, okay, I'm going to stop myself there. But yeah, that's essentially like the necessity of, in forgiveness, remembering that it doesn't always mean that you're going to forget. And it doesn't always mean you're going to be able to be around them all the time, because that relationship dynamic has changed now. So, but having the conversation, I do think, as awkward as it may be, is important. It doesn't always have to be right away though, I don't think. Now, if you're talking a romantic relationship, I think that can be a little bit different, or a covenant, like in marriage, not just like romantic relationship, like a marriage between two people. I think that's a little bit different. Communication, like you shouldn't go weeks or years without talking or something, but yeah, who am I to say that? yeah, but okay, yeah, My next point was, after the forgiveness and boundaries, is that if we are struggling to maybe move past those, like either not make boundaries, not stick to them, or just dealing with a lot of hurt from it, I would definitely seek support from trusted people, either, you know, not everyone lives in a really big area, so we don't really all have big choices of friends, and we all have different tastes and whatnot. So I, you know, it could be a friend, but it could also be a counselor or a mentor or a priest or someone, a preacher, your mom, your dad, your brother, sister, someone who you can trust to confide in. I think that is very freeing, just to be able to speak without, knowing that you can speak without judgment is very important during those times. And also seeking help, like advice. Hey, I'm new to this. I don't know how to navigate friendships like this. Can you tell me what would be a healthy way for me to respond? Someone from an outside perspective. And you're not talking badly about another person. You don't have to say a name. You can just communicate and try to figure out, like, what is the best way to approach this situation. Okay. And again, building intimacy within the awkwardness. So, yeah. So, yeah, in essence, I mean, just for maintaining friendships, even after conflict or boundary setting or awkward conversations, any of those things, I think the main takeaway is, like, knowing those people who are in your circle of friends and your friend group, and regularly being involved in their life, regularly communicating. We all fall short. So that's not, like, I don't think anyone should ever be too hard on themselves and be like, oh, I don't reach out to this person enough. I don't check in on them. I don't show enough appreciation. I'm not supportive enough. I think that we can kind of change that and just be like, well, when you feel it put on your heart, and just do it. Just send a text. I mean, what's that going to hurt to just remind someone, I love you. Hey, I love you. You know, it doesn't have to be a big conversation every time. And I think we can trip ourselves up with that. At least I can, because I'm like, I got to send a book if I haven't talked to that person in a year. And really, it's like, it'd just be nice to say hello. So it's obviously important to remember that. I got to plug my laptop in if this thing dies while I'm recording. Okay, so lastly, I guess I want to kind of talk about God's role in our friendships, because I think God makes it very clear in the Bible that he values friendships and our fellowship with one another, not just marital relationships, but genuine, true, Christ-like friendships and brother, like the brother and sisterhood in Christ, and being involved in a community of faith. Because I think the reason why this is so important is because live in a broken world. So having faithful encouragement when we're constantly, if like out in the world, being reminded of everything opposite of what's in the word of God. Not all the time, not everything. There is so much beauty in this world, and that is so very important to acknowledge too. Not everything is bad. Like, I personally have had to learn just appreciating his beauty in everything, in all of his creation, just appreciating the work of his hands. There's nothing wrong with that, I don't think. There's nothing wrong with that. But yeah, so although God does value our friendships and relationships with one another, that also can show us how he's here for us during those times. Because, you know, when you have friends, like, we should be mourning with those who mourn and rejoicing with those who rejoice, no matter anyone, that's for anybody, but specifically friends, like, and friends in a community of faith where we would be encouraging one another. I think having that can just provide so much comfort and give strength to your soul, because God is present in that. I fully believe. Jesus says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I will be. Yeah. So I think regardless of what point or place of healing you're currently in, there is so much room and grace and love for you. There's so much love for you that Jesus has. And because me, I'm like, I don't, how could I even have a Christian friend? I am so messed up. How could anyone even be a potential mentor? They are gonna get too tired of me. I'd be the bad company. I'd corrupt their good character, yada yada. But when you have someone who's strong in the faith, they are there to walk with you through those struggles, not making you feel worse and giving you encouragement throughout it, where you were doing well and walking in God's word and in his truth, in the truth. Yeah, I actually though would like to hear from you guys after this episode, so if you wouldn't mind, please post in the comments or go on the forum, whichever one you prefer, and just maybe share a story about like a past friendship where you had to have an awkward conversation and how that maybe helped you in that one, or you learned something and it changed things about that friendship, or how it helped you develop a new friendship or relationship after. And yeah. Okay. I think there's actually another question. Yeah. So reflecting on today's topic or our discussion about navigating broken relationships / friendships and having awkward conversations despite our emotional traumas as individuals and the lives that we have, you know, individually and collectively. So yeah, reflecting on this discussion about this and how our past experiences have shaped our approach to making and maintaining new friendships, what lessons have you learned from past friendships or relationships that you might be able to share with others that would help encourage them if they're struggling with similar circumstances? So say an unforgiving friend, but maybe who might not be a believer, or a believing friend who you're having to set boundaries with at some point. I'd really love to hear you guys' thoughts. And as always, thank you so much for tuning in. I don't usually ask this, but if you could, please hit the subscribe button. I would appreciate it. Thank you. And I feel like I need to say something else. I don't know. Okay. Anyway, guys, thanks so much for tuning in. I hope you all have a lovely weekend and beautiful next couple of weeks. I will hopefully see you soon. Also, please forgive me if I do not get back to your comments right away, since I'm like requesting them on this one. It can sometimes take me a whole day to formulate a response. I have problems. Anyway, thanks for tuning in. I love you guys.